Hours of sheer musical bliss. Thank you. Now, tonight we visit in part two of our program. We go back to Hetford, and again, we'll be going on to My Van after that. I know we promised the people of My Van we'd be with them within the next half an hour. I think we might have to prolong that a bit because we have more than what we thought coming from Hetford tonight again in part two of our show. But anyway, My Van will feature tonight, possibly after 9 o'clock. But anyway, we're going to continue with our program in just a couple of moments, and we're going to hear now Vincent Warren playing his accordion here, and he's going to play us a selection of styles. By the way, if you'd like to make a comment on tonight's program, 064-344-44, or you can email us, killarney@radiokerry.ie. Vincent Warren on the accordion with a selection of slides for us there, and of course that is featured on an album called The Threshing Mill Boys, Just Like Old Times. That's one half of The Threshing Mill Boys, and coincidentally we have the second half of The Threshing Mill Boys with us right now on the program, as we met him last week, Seamus Healy, and he sang this one for us called The Stuttering Bum.
I call you up last Saturday on my telephone. Said thanks for bringing me to the dance and letting me take you home. I'm sorry I acted nervous. I started to stammer and sweat. It happened as soon as I saw your face, and I haven't gotten over it yet. I stared at your great big beautiful big blue eyes. I wondered if you scrutinized all the guys. And when you smile, I nearly shot out through the door. I never seen such pretty little teeth before. I wasn't always shy like this. I've been out with other girls. I kissed them on the back door and I let them feel my curls. But ever since I met you down there at the farmer's ball, why, I can't talk, and I can't say a word at all. My collar gets awful tight, and I can't talk like the way I did last night. I get a funny feeling in my brain. I can't move, and I can't say a word again. I stared at your great big beautiful big blue eyes. I wondered if you scrutinized all the guys. And when you smiled, I nearly shot out through the door. I never seen such pretty little tea before. She said she'd see me Saturday night. I put down the phone. My tongue is back to normal now, and I'm once more alone. And the next time that I'll see her, it'll be Saturday night around 10. But you can bet your bottom dollar I'll be a stuttering bum again. I'll grab her by the arms, and I'll push her inside. To take my courage in both hands and ask her to be my bride. But if she holds my clammy hand, like the way I know she would, I'd cover my face. I cure myself for good. I stared at your great big beautiful big blue eyes. I wondered if you scrutinized all the guys. When you smile, I nearly shot out through the door. I never seen such pretty little tea before. My father always said there was no good in being a fool unless you proved yourself.
Did you like that? That was good. Okay, Jack Dineen, we have to get this song from you. We spoke to you earlier on, but we have to get the song now.
Yeah.
All right, Sean.
Okay.
You want some pure verses in the old song?
All right, yeah.
Some of you little heroes, and listen to me a while. Don't tire it any further till you know what your work will be. For you must rise up early from the clear daylight till dawn. I'm afraid you'll ne'er be able to plow the rocks upon. My shoes, they are now worn. My socks are getting thin. My heart is always trembling now for fear they might give in. My heart is always trembling now from the clear daylight till dawn. I'm afraid I'll ne'er be able to plow the rocks of an. Rise up now, gallant Sweeney, and give your horses hay, and give them a good feed of horse before you start away. Don't feed them in soft turnips that grows on your green lawn. Or they never will be able to plow the rocks upon. My curse upon you, Sweeney, you have nearly robbed. You're sitting by the fireside with your feet upon the hob. You're sitting by the fireside now from the clear daylight till dawn. I'm afraid you'll ne'er be able to plow the rocks of an. I'd wish the Queen of England would send for me in time, and please me in some arrangement, all in my youth and prime. I'd fight for Ireland's glory now, from the clear daylight till dawn. And I never will return to plow the rocks of Ireland.
very much.
Thank you very much there to Jack Dineen. We now take a break.
Tim Sullivan, Patty Patsies. Tell me about Patty Patsies.
Joe Crowley and Patty had lived home, and he was walk all route his farm, my lord. And he was a man of 75 years of age at the time, anyway. And we were all there dancing sets. That's where we learned how to dance sets. And we didn't care where we went to Guinea Willa or Diggin Eagle, wherever. We were well prepared for it. Joe was playing there with us.
Yeah.
Playing for us, sir.
And sure, Timmy kept you fit.
Oh, yeah, and I'm still fit.
And what else did you do besides dance sets?
Ah, well, we've done lots of things, like.
Like what?
We can't get us home to Sean and the horse and trap in the morning at 7 or 8 o'clock.
In a horse and trap?
And they were going for the train to London at 11.
So you kind of kissed him goodbye?
Well, even Dan Murphy.
Yeah?
Oh, we did. We were sort of only kissing, didn't we?
And they were happy with that?
Oh, yeah, quite happy.
Good God. If they got a kiss now, they'd want more.
That's a long story, lady.
I mean, they'd probably want your bank account.
But that's slowly.
Yeah.
And we walked back from Sloan after dancing over in Jack Tades.
Right.
The footballers, the Midas, that played with New York. And we were playing football over and down the morning. And with Timmy Miner, he's dead now, Mickey is still alive.
Yeah.
They played with New York for them.
I see.
But, and we walked back from Sloan. Back through Sheehan's echo and landed at 10 o'clock
tomorrow.
And we were quite happy.
There was an awful lot of walking.
There was a lot. Well, there was no other way. The first bit of transport we got here round was Richard that owned the Harlem Baradove. He bought a van by the name of Granby.
A van.
And Granby was written up in the side.
All right, yes.
And he was taking us up to meet the bridges at Guinea Willa to Sean or wherever we wanted to go. He'd pack us all into the back, take a bunch of calves. Well, he bought them for carrying calves, like.
Carrying calves?
To mats. desperate.
All right.
The fares at the time.
Right.
But he ended up carrying us to meet the bridges and the shore. And we were very thankful for to take our leg off the road, like.
But did he put the women into the van as well?
Oh, we were all inside together, like by gross cause.
Right. Okay, are you going to sing for me?
I will sing this song.
All right.
We shall be on your passage daily.
Right.
We dearly love our shamrock screen, we triple leaflets fair. 'Tis free to all, for it is found in Ireland everywhere. And as we gather, it may we, it's real what you discern, like dewdrops on its leafless tree, and lessons we shall learn. Faith is the lesson it foreseals, it teaches us to be content and happy all our lives, from care and worry free. They teaches us in God to trust, and in His loving care. Oh, fly vanquished everywhere. Then next we come to cheerful hope, sure it guides us on our way. For hope looks forward every hour, to brighter things in store. Oh, cherished hope, sure it gives us power, above all is to soar. But love the best has yet to come, sure it hangs on leafless tree. For love is the crown of every home, a pledge of harmony. Though far and wide, true love will show that it can love and still, though it is wronged, for it is slow to anger our ill will. So let us wear our shamrock green upon St. Patrick's Day, and may we always try to hear what it has got to say. Sure, if Irish children all would band and learn these lessons three, faith, hope, and love would make their land a land of unity.
Right, Constable Dan, you ran the post office, I believe, here for a while.
That's right.
Yeah, for how long?
Oh, since 72.
Do you still have the gun now?
No, we still have it.
You still have it. And this thing about post offices closing down, they got a new lease of life, did they, some time back?
Yeah, they did. We're battling away anyway.
We're battling away, yeah. And how long has it been in the family business for?
The pub?
No, the post office.
Oh, since 1927.
1927, it's gone back a long, long time. And how are things here with you at the present time?
Yeah, it's all right.
Yeah.
The bank didn't come yet anyway.
Well, let's hope they stay away for another while. You have a good old crack going tonight, and I believe this is something similar to every weekend here.
Yeah, nothing, yeah.
Who's the best character coming into the pub here?
He's, I suppose he's missing. He's in Lanzarote, I'd say.
Yes,
he is.
What's his
Del
name?
Del Van.
Oh, yes, and he's in Lanzarote?
Yeah.
When's he due back?
When's he back? Sat there.
Is it all?
He can't have another one.
He come back fine and tanned and all of that.
He will, of course.
All right, we thank you for talking to us, and best of luck to you here.
All right.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.
Another man here with me now is Tim Doherty. Tim, how are you?
Very good.
Tim, I believe you like a bit of set dancing.
Well, a small bit. Quarterfire is now and then, don't it? She and my son Thomas are. Catherine here, we got together and we enjoyed very well.
Have you met up with any good set dancers in the Far East region?
Oh God, yes, there are great dancers coming there. Right. I can compete at all with them, to tell you the truth. I'm only a very fair dancer.
Well, I always thought fit for them were fit.
Well, they're fairly fit, all right, yes.
From drinking goat's milk.
Yoy! I heard that alright. Why on?
Now he's thinking how he's going to come back to me, Bob Gorsmick, in a minute. Anyway,
I remember your late dad out in Ballybrack.
I was.
Paddy?
Yeah, that's right.
Paddy was a tremendous man at fishing, wasn't he?
He was a great fisherman, that's right. And it was late in the time we had that was. Yes. You were the man that...
Yeah, my father, God rest him, used to work with him.
That's right, yeah.
Yes. But I remember Paddy very well. He takes down to the beach and shows how to fly fish.
That's right.
The river there.
He'd done a lot of fly fishing, right, yeah.
He was good with the gun as well, wasn't he?
He was mad in the cock pheasant, and that's he right. died on the opening day of the cock pheasant, 1st of November. That's right, yeah.
Yeah. Do you remember much about Ballybrack yourself?
I do, of course. I was born and raised in Ballybrack. And Maureen took me out of it 25 years.
Is she a Ballybrack woman?
No, she's from this area up here in Lowbridge.
Oh, I see.
That's right, yeah. So, her father was in the Red Velvet.
So, you're all keeping well?
We're in great farm, aren't we? Yes. Yeah.
All right, thank you very much. And keep up the dancing.
And thank you.
Good stuff. All right, thank you very much. Thomas, you're the other set dancer, are you?
I'm trying to keep up with Tim. Didn't be easy.
He's lively on the feast, is
he? Oh, I'm telling you, he's lively.
Outside of Far East, do you go to any other place dancing?
We got this Throne last year, but nothing happening there this year.
Not this year. I was talking to Evelyn Cronin there, one of the girls that's involved in it, and she was telling me not this year, but perhaps next year.
That's right, yeah.
Were you at the Gleneagle over the past couple of weeks, no?
No.
Yeah. There's tremendous set dancing on the Gleneagle as well.
Yeah.
Kaylee sets. Do you want to say hello to anybody on the program tonight?
Everybody that know me. And...
Okay, thank you very much.
Farmer that was called to jury service.
Mm-hmm.
And at the time he was a very shrewd man. A lot of people didn't realize it. But anyway, this fellow, the guards were after him for ages. And they eventually got him and he was tried. And the jury were advised to find him guilty. And they retired to deliberate. And after a day and a night, they couldn't agree. So the judge went in and spoke to him. He said, look, we're after this guy for ages. We have to find him guilty. And he left him alone for another day and a night. So he went in again. He said, what's the problem? He said, look, he said, I know it's circumstantial evidence, but we have to find him guilty. So what's the problem? And this man stood up to Starmer, local man. He said, I'll tell you about circumstantial evidence, he said. I have a cow at home and a three-legged stool in a bucket. And I sat under her, he said, and she kicked the bucket. Put me free. So I spancelled her. I got my bucket and stool and sat in again, he said, and then I got a slap of the tail. But he said there was a little thing behind her back, and I stood up and I wanted to tie the tail over the top. And I took the milk off my trousers, and I reached up, and with that, my pants fell down around my ankles. And my wife came in the other end of the bar, now tell me about circumstantial evidence.
Thank you very much.
That was good.
And with that, I think we'll have to take a break here. Join us in a moment.
Where's Jack Dineen gone to? Yeah. Circumstantial evidence. What do you think of all that?
very good article.
Right, how are you keeping?
That's right.
You're welcome to join us. Talk to me about going to the dances in your younger days. What were they like for you, and where did you go, and what did you get up to?
Yeah, I don't know that I've all tried to use a bicycle in my young days anyway, but I was to work in Acne Ray out by Farmer. That him in the late 50s, and the evening I'd get on my bicycle and cycle into Killarney, into the deep of the All Town Hall. You'd carry your bicycle at him, and you could have your overcoat up on the carrier of the bicycle inside in the Fairfield. And when you come back to be that before, there was no problem that way anyway in the way that they world.
And how did you fare out at those dances in those years?
I don't know, right, thanks be to God, you know, I made out all right. I did. I enjoyed them. I was to like old sets and that, but I made out well for a finish anyhow, thank God, everything went my way. And
out of the sets or something else?
Out of the sets and out of it all, you know, really.
Can you remember who might have been playing at the time now? Because we're always interested in the older groups and bands.
Well, Johnny Leary was a favourite man in Guinea Guilin. He was a top accordion man that him, and Dan Murphy, the Rat Emerson, Dan the Kramley, we used to call him. He was another great accordion player. Dan Leary, Jimmy Dale. Dan Leary is gone to his God, who the poor man, which was a mighty fiddle player, which would be Aileen's father there, now Aileen's only his father, like. He was a mighty fiddle player out here himself, and Jimmy Dale, which to...
I'm sure those who are gone would have been mighty proud of the gathering session this past weekend in Killarney.
There's no doubt about it, there would be, all right, Sean.
And I'm sure they'd be still as proud because of the tradition, the way it's being kept going, even by the younger people at the moment.
That is right. We've done a lot of old travel around in the Spear, local dances in the evenings and patterns and that, and I done a lot of dancing in patterns and Sunday evenings and things like that, you know.
Do you miss that now?
Well, I wouldn't be able to do it now, but I still remember it, and I enjoyed every hour of it, I'll tell you the truth, Sean, I did.
Those are the memories of the past. How are you spending your time now?
Kind of a small retired farmer, if you like.
Have you a tractor?
I have one of them too, yeah, I have.
Did you go up to Dublin?
I didn't, for I don't think I'd make it yet, so I wouldn't be up yet, sir. I wouldn't have pulled enough for that, Sean, no. I'd be a bit like Larry.
I think he's won over you there with the goats. I think I might go back to Larry. Thank you for talking to me.
Right.
I'm going to go back to Larry. Larry, you seem to be enjoying yourself this evening, and we give the goats milk anyway, a good kind of a G up here this evening. They'll all be on it tomorrow. By the way, is this stuff for sale?
I don't know. I was going to, but I wished,
Good God, Larry, you're slowing up. You better have a drink of it.
I was seeing Minister Welsh about the whole thing. I was giving me a few pints of it. That Minister Welsh.
All right. Maybe it worked wonders. Yeah.
Because he don't realize at all the good it is like.
All right. Okay, Larry, we have to leave it at that. Thank you very much. Okay, Pete Keller, I'm back with you again. Pete, you might have a song that's suggested here tonight by a few of your good friends. They'd love to hear you sing The Yellow Rose of Texas.
For Mike Murphy in RTA one time.
Yes.
And I give it in. All right.
There's a yellow rose in Texas, I'm going there to see. No other fella knows her, nobody, only me. She cried, oh, when I left her, it nearly broke my heart. And if we ever meet again, we never more will part. She's the sweetest frozen color a cub I ever knew. Her eyes all bright as diamonds, they sparkle in the dew. You may talk about your dearest maid, sing of Rosaline, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee. Now I'm going back to find her, my heart is full of woe. We have sung the songs together we sang so long ago. We'll pick the banjo, Gideon, we'll sing the songs of yore. And the yellow rose of Texas built mine forevermore. She's the sweetest frozen color a cub I ever knew. Her eyes all bright as diamonds and they sparkle in the dew. You may talk about your dearest maid, sing of Rosaline, but the yellow rose of Texas beats the bells of Tennessee.
There we go, Pete Kelleher once again, and the yellow rose of Texas. Derry Healy is down here as well. Derry, is there somebody else down here we'd like to say hello to?
Brian Lear is going to play a tune here.
Oh yes, Brian Lear on the accordion.
Yeah.
And will you back him up on the guitar?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's Timmy Lear's son from Kilquan.
Okay, Timmy's son from Kilquan. That was Brian O'Leary there. Now, next we have on the program very well-known gentleman, Andrew McCarthy. And we spoke to Andrew about the popularity of the game of cards locally. Here he is.
31 would be the most popular game around here.
Right.
And down through the years in this house, we would have had a very strong tradition of the O'Donoghue brothers in particular, Mick and Timmy. Unfortunately, Mick is not with us any longer, but they were the mainstay of a game here every Thursday night and every Sunday night for the last 25 years or longer. And in other bars in the area as well, 31 would be very popular. And we used to have the late Pat Scacy of McMahonock and Patrick Cronin of McCreek, who were regulars here every Sunday night. And, you know, there would be a great game at 31, and every trick was hard fought for. And, you know, no shilling was made easily or lost easily, because you watched every trick and you accounted for everyone. There are some more seasoned players than me around here, but sometimes people ease off of it for a while and come back to it. But there's been a great game going here for the past 35 to 40 years.
Andrew, were there any highlights or any particular time of the year where the card games, would say, came to a peak?
The most popular time would be in the run into Christmas for the Christmas hampers. And the other time that there would be very keen rivalry would be when the Kilgavin 31 drive would be in its peak, when Dennis P. O'Sullivan and Kilgavin would go around to try and organise the East Kerry Championship. And there would be very intense rivalry in various public houses in relation to where that would be played and who would win it and who would go to Kilgavin from Spillane's and who would go to Kilgavin from other places in relation to that.
Would it be something so what like, shall we say, football clubs and all that?
To be a bit more loose than that, because the night you'd come, it would depend on who was here on the night that you might fall in playing with people You would have a regular table of eight, but there would also be times, I can remember a time here when you had five tables going in the one night, and, you know, there would be, each table would have its own characters, and, you know, the good fun would be had by all.
What sort of crack would you have then when you talk about fun there? Were the characters, they'd be well known in the region, all right, but what sort of fun would come out of a night?
Well, some people, you know, don't like to lose any game, and you would have a bit of banter in relation to, you know, if you left a trick or if you made a mistake here, you know, if somebody would feel that you should have maybe taken a trick and you left somebody go, and particularly if you're playing for a hamper, they would be a bit, they'd be watching the games more maybe than the tricks, as well. If you're playing a single game, you'd be watching the tricks, so there would be a fair bit of interchange between players on the course of a night, depending on, somebody might think you should have played a card somewhat different, or the other way, so then a fellow might get a reminder of what he'd done last Sunday night, or last Thursday night as well, and, you know, the crack would go on for a bit, you know.
Yeah. Would you travel out from this area to other parts of the county playing cards yourself?
There was a time when I would, but since the drink driving laws tightened up, I'd say that's we don't do that anymore. You have to stay more or less as local as you can now. There was a time when we used to go to Tralee playing, we used to go to Ballydesmond, the Fairbairn, and go to Mallow, but some people still do, but personally I don't.
Right. Do you ever come across a fellow by the name of Mick Cronin from Fossa?
I've come across Mick, does a lot of painting inside in Killarney Town. Myself and Mick played an awful lot of 31 in the Fitzgerald Stadium when I was living in Killarney at that particular time. Mick was a regular at a game in the Fitzgerald Stadium on Saturday nights, and Brendan Keogh and Tehan from the Tralee Road. There used to be a great game there. Jim Kelly, who was over here, and his brothers used to play there fairly regular as well. And Tim Sullivan, a share of people from this side of the country used to go in there to play. There used to be good games there in the Fitzgerald Stadium on a Saturday night.
Car game, I suppose, one time, it was all the older generation that used to play, all the old fellas around the table, but now it's changed. You get the younger fellas now as well, wouldn't you, playing? And maybe perhaps young girls?
Yeah, there's a fairly good mix around here, because maybe it was because, you know, families used to play it. It was a common enough pastime here around, and young people seem to have picked it up as well, and they enjoy it. And, you know, it's a good pastime, pass away a couple of hours with good friends or good family, and, you know, good friendships have developed from playing it, and there's very little falling out in it.
Maybe a little bit of romance as well.
Now and again, yes.
Now and again. Andrew McCartan, thank you for talking to me.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, then, 60 minutes to 9 o'clock here on Radio Kerry. We now yet again take a break. And on the program tonight, we're going to invite Jim Kelly back to sing a song about the boy from Glenflesk.
He was a bold Glenflesk boy from the plains of sweet Lowly. He sang the songs of his country roars by the Flesk and Only Cree. And as he took me by the hand, his happy home to live, bound down by Free State Treasury to fill a rebel's grave. Good night, my gallant comrades, I will call to see you soon. Tonight we'll cross the Slugdal by the rising of the moon. We'll roam the wild woods of Crohan and down by Slievenamh. We will fill a score to meet the foe, or fill a rebel's grave. For 6 long weary months he roamed o'er the Glenflesk mountains high. The heather was his pillow, and his blanket was the sky. And as he roamed far from his home, from dawn till set of sun, you could hear him still down wood or dill, a rebel on the run. Nor night, my gallant comrades, I will call to see you soon. Tonight we'll cross the slugged by the rising of the moon. We'll roam the wild woods of Crohan and down by Slievenamh. We will fill a school to meet the foe, or fill a rebel's grave. This brave and bold, undaunted youth of a cowardly shot he fell. If the rich brown heather could only speak some bravery, it would tell. 6 Free State soldiers came to grief by the manly blow he gave, and tonight he sleeps in High Kilquen and fills her rebel's grave. No more I'll answer to her call, our love sweet in his fame, for all my gallant comrades, they are shot or dying in jail. But rather than to be a coward or be a free state slave, for freedom's sake and Ireland's cause, I will fill a rebel's grave.
Once again, thank you to Jim Kelly. We now welcome to the program Derry Healy. Derry, this is a lovely little session which you've got going here for yourselves. Is it only at weekends?
This came about actually of every Saturday night there, we have a sing song here.
Right.
You know, there's a gang of us, the same gang, that get together every Saturday night and we...
A little session.
We have a session, yeah. Just after a few points.
Had he something to do with a woman?
He was supposed to be a fine looking man. He had a tenor voice and he was a boxer.
He ended up in London, did he?
He did.
Yeah.
He died in the streets in London, and they put up a lovely plaque above in Cove where he was born for him. We went up to see it. So I learned the song.
The song you're going to sing is all about him, is it? Yeah.
Yeah, it's called The Contender, which is Jimmy McCarthy wrote it.
Yeah, and you've got somebody to sing it, but you have your?
Rosie will give me a handout, my wife.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Let's go.
When I was young and I was in my day, sure I'd steal what woman's heart would come my way. The night singing to the dawning, saw the blazing to the morning, long before I was the man you see today. I was born beneath the stars that promised all. Could have lived my life without Cassandra's call. But then the wheel of fortune took me from the highest point it shook me. By the battle lived, by the battle I shall fall. There on the mirror on the wall, I see the dream is fading. From the contender to the throne, the ring, the rose, the matador, when I die, I'll the pipers there resound me. There I'll rest until the Lord of Love calls me. There on the mirror on the wall, I see the dream is fading from the contender to the brawl. Bring the rose, the matador ringing. There on the mirror on the wall, I see the dream is fading from the contender to the brawl.
Mickey Sullivan is here. Mickey, you're very welcome to join us on the program. And is your wife still with you?
Right.
Kathleen,
yeah.
Is it?
Yeah. That's right, yeah.
You're both welcome. Now, tell me about a little bit of history attached to here.
Fort is situated in Lisbara. This fort was, in olden times, there was children buried there. These children were baptized and they wouldn't be allowed to be buried in consecrated ground. So the year 2000, then the parish priest and local gang was got together with the help of the teacher, Raheen. He brought the children there. They set flowers there and they came back in and we erected a plaque in honor of the children that was neglected and that weren't allowed to be buried in
consecrated ground, yes.
That's right.
In those years, though, a lot of that went on, didn't it?
I believe so. Yeah. There's a lot of forts, like, there were, it seems that there was a lot of children buried there. Some, when they were buried, like, back in olden times. My father, and went back in my father's time, like, not in my time, of course, not in our time. The parish priest then came and he blessed the ground. And he blessed the plaque. We did a big turnout. They brought the children in from Raheen's school. And the teacher, Raheen, Rory Dessett, he brought the children and he explained to them about the fort and how that, what it was all about.
Kathleen, can I go to you? There was a thing that I heard many, many years ago about, which said children that didn't make it into the world, stillborn children, that they weren't allowed to be buried in consecrated ground either. Do you hear anything about that?
Yes, that was the case, all right. Them children were buried in forts.
Well, it seems that there were a good few children buried in this fort. I don't know about the rest of the forts, so whether they were...
How many roughly did you ever find out?
There must be a good few, because there's a good few headstones. The headstones that they had was army stones, like erected, like the shape of a headstone.
So there's a good few of those there.
There is about at least well up to 20 or 25. And of course you know about forts, and that forts are never supposed to be tampered with.
If they are tampered with, it brings bad luck to
the
families around that area.
That's right. We have always had that. Well, this fort is in our land, and we never interfered with the fort, like, you know. And it seems from this fort back into another fort in Raheen, it seems that there's an underground tunnel. This is what we are told, and that that tunnel supposed to be for, if there was ever an invasion, that they would have to go in the ground in olden times. So we don't know, like, we weren't there at that time.
Yeah, you're right, just hearing what was passed on to you.
What was passed on is quite correct.
Now, the other thing I would ask you, is this accessible to people to come into your lands and have a look at this fort?
Oh, yes, by all means, yeah. The parish priest, Father Riley, they were going to hold a mass there, but the teacher didn't, like, said, like, they didn't count of insurance purposes and things like that. Like that, if it's a big crowd like that, you could have problems there as well.
Yeah, that's a present-day problem. Going back to the forts again, can I ask you, do people believe that bad luck follows forts? Or have you heard it in your time yourself?
Oh, God, yes.
What stories have you heard?
Well, I heard that if a bulldozer self wanted to make land out of the fort, that it could bring bad luck into your family, that you could be the cause of wood deaths, that kind of thing, like, you know.
Do you believe that most forts were used as burial for burial purposes?
Well, I suppose in olden times, like when they wouldn't allow the children to be buried in... These would be children now that would be baptized.
Right.
That would be buried here, like. After that, then, like, we're only... distinct to what we've had down through the years, like.
Of course,
yeah. Yeah.
Listen, thank you very much for talking to us.
Thank you.
All
right, we've come to the end of the evening. Our thanks to all the guests, the musicians, the singers, and those who, in fact, recited poetry for us as well. And we look forward to meeting you again in maybe 12 months down the line for another session here in Headford. It's been a most enjoyable night. There's parts of the program, of course, we spoke serious things like the Headford ambush, which had to be covered. We spoke to people about love and life and about goat's milk. And we enjoyed every moment of it, and I'm sure that everybody took it all in good faith, and the jokes and the crack and all that, it's all part of it. And I'm delighted, you know, to know tonight that people can still laugh, still can have a joke in a serious world that we're supposed to be living in now. And it's lovely to have that in this part of the country.
Thank you very much indeed to Headford, to Derry, Healy, indeed, also to Consbellan there for his hospitality and kindness to us. We now take a break. Join us back in a couple.
You're here sitting pretty.
I am.
Did you bring himself along, Joan?
I did. He's out there somewhere.
Where is he?
Out in the back.
By golly, you know something. He shouldn't stay too far away from you. Will you sing a song for me?
I will.
Where you go?
It's a working man I am, and I've been down underground, and I swear to God if I ever see the sun, oh, for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. At the age of 16 years, he quarreled with his peers, who vowed they'd never seen another one. Through the dark recess of the mines, where you wait before your time, and the cold just lies heavy on your lungs. It's a working man I am, and I've been down on the ground, and I swear to God if I ever see the sun, oh, for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. At the age of 64, he'll greet you at the door, and will gently lead you by the arm through the dark recess of the mind. Oh, he'll take you back in time, and will tell you of the hardships that were had. It's a working man I am, and I've been down on the ground, and I swear to God if I ever see the sun, oh, for any length of time, I can hold it in my mind. I never again will go down underground. I never again will go down underground.
Thank you very much. That was really beautiful. And let's hope that himself didn't mind me taking away there for 2 minutes and 48 seconds for singing purposes. Thank you.
My next guest this evening on the program now is...